خود شده حرفت ورد زبون و هل جا سمت داد. دلم از این میسوزه تو مدینه، یکی نمیگه چه بسه ای داریم، تو که شب تا سحر واسه مردم تو دعاهات چیزی کم نمیذاری. جوری فتنه شده که تو حتی میون خوبام یاری نداری. نگرانم من واسه این زخما، نگرانم چون خونیه نفسان. مظلوم مادر بی کس، مادر می دوید تو کوچه یه نفس، مادر نفسش هیدر 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 هیدر
بگو جان دلم
هیدر تو باله هیدر می دوید از سینه اش خود می چکی. باز مشغول کاری با لبخند که انگار نه انگار که از عهد تا دند شکسته بین در و دیوار. چرا برات نگران نباشم که نفست گاهی بر نمیگرده؟ الهی مادر برات بمیرم که تموم نفسات پر درده. اون دستای مهربونت دیگه موهامونو شونه نکرده. چی شده پهلو کبوده بازود؟ چه برم داره گوشه ابرود؟ ای جان مادر بیکس، مادر چی شده بوده بازود؟ چه برم داره گوشه ابرود؟ ای جان مادر
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام أتوب اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا يا ممتحنة امتحنك الله الذي خلقك قبل أن يخلقك فوجدك لما امتحنك صابرا وزعمنا أنا لك أولياء ومصدقون وصابرون لكل ما أتانا به أبوك صلى الله عليه وآله وأتى به وصيه فإنا نسألك إن كنا صدقناك إلا ألحقتنا بتصديقنا لهما لنبشر أنفسنا بأننا قد طهرنا بولايتك السلام عليك يا بنت رسول الله السلام عليك يا بنت نبي الله السلام عليك يا بنت حبيب الله السلام عليك يا بنت خليل الله السلام عليك يا بنت صفي الله السلام عليك يا بنت أمين الله السلام عليك يا بنت خير خلق الله السلام عليك يا بنت أفضل أنبياء الله ورسله وملائكته السلام عليك يا بنت خير البرية السلام عليك يا سيدة نساء العالمين من الأولين والآخرين السلام عليك يا زوجة ولي الله وخير الخلق بعد رسول الله السلام عليك يا أم الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة السلام عليك أيتها الصديقة الشهيدة السلام عليك أيتها الرضية المرضية السلام عليك أيتها الفاضلة الزكية السلام عليك أيتها الحوراء الإنسية السلام عليك أيتها التقية النقية، السلام عليك أيتها المحدثة العليمة، السلام عليك أيتها المظلومة المغصوبة، السلام عليك أيتها المضطهدة المقهورة، السلام عليك يا فاطمة بنت رسول الله ورحمة الله وبركاته، صلى الله عليك وعلى روحك وبدنك، أشهد أنك مضيت على بينة من ربك، وأن من سرك فقد سر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، ومن جفاك فقد جفا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، ومن آذاك فقد آذى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، ومن وصلك فقد وصل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، ومن قطعك فقد قطع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، لأنك بضعة منه وروحه الذي بين جنبيه، أشهد الله ورسله وملائكته أني راض عمن رضيت عنه، ساخط على من سخطت عليه، متبرئ ممن تبرأت منه، موال لمن واليت، معاد لمن عاديت، مبغض لمن أبغضت، محب لمن أحببت، وكفى بالله شهيدا وحسيبا وجازيا ومثيبا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قد غم مردم خوردی ای مادر، غم خور شده حرفت ورد زبونا، الجاس همت داد دلم از این میسوزه تو مدینه، یکی نمیگه چه قصه ای داریم، تو که شب تا سحر واسه مردم تو دعاهات چیزی کم نمیذاری، جوری فتنه شده که تو حتی میون خوبام یاری نداری، نگرانم من واسه این زخما، نگرانم چون خونیه نفسات، مظلوم مادر بی کس، مادر میدوید تو کوچه یه نفس، مادر نفسش هیده.
Apologies about that. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. Tonight is the night of the martyrdom of the Lady Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha, to the Imam of our time. May our souls be sacrificed for him. We express our condolences. And we express our condolences to all the lovers, followers of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, as well as all the lovers and followers of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt in general, inshallah. We've been discussing the effect of the Shahada of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, and her choice to be a Shahida. If the followers of the Ahlul Bayt choose their Shahada, which they do. I personally have come across multiple accounts that the Shaheed knew that going today means Shahada. It will happen. They were told beforehand and they chose that. They went there, they became Shuhada. Regarding Hajj Qasim, this has been mentioned, Hajj Abu Mahdi, and multiple other accounts that we have come across. These are students of the Ahlul Bayt, followers of the Ahlul Bayt. It wasn't only Sayyid al-Shuhada, Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi, that chose his martyrdom. Fatima al-Zahra chose her martyrdom. She knew standing behind that door is going to lead to her martyrdom. She knew standing for Ali will lead to her martyrdom. She chose Shahada. It was a choice she made. Not that she made a choice that inevitably would lead to that. She didn't want the inevitable effect of the death and the killing of her. But rather, she only wanted to stand. If it happens, it happens. This is the way we deal with things. People that are not even similar to those followers of the Ahlul Bayt that chose Shahada. People like us, we say, okay, we're going to stand up against tyranny, stand against these zalimeen. And yeah, it may happen. Some of us may get killed in that way, and that's Shahada, and we welcome that. But that's for someone below average or average like myself. Below average like myself or average like above myself. For someone who's reached even the rank of being a follower, a true follower of the Ahlul Bayt, they don't only do those things that maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't happen. Yes, those are the initial stages. Eventually, the person ascends where they know when and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to be a shaheed. They choose that shahada particularly in that way. Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, chose that shahada. Therefore, we're talking about what she did with her shahada, with her choice. We talked about the effect of shahada on the mu'mineen on the first night, and how it is important for us to note that and to see the effect of the martyrdom of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, on the believers and them wanting shahada. When we talked about the effect of shahada, which is the instrument through which the choice they make to kill a mu'min, a mu'mina, like Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, above all, and anyone who follows her footsteps, killing that mu'min or mu'mina simply because they chose to stand firm on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be the instrument through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring down that tyrant. We talked about this last night, so it's a form of warfare in this war with the enemies of Islam.
shahada, seeking it generally as an average believer and hopefully ascending with this, doing whatever it takes, and then when we are told that this is the moment that God wants you to be a shaheed, we say labbaik Allahumma labbaik. We want that shahada. I will be a shaheed on that, in that moment, and I'll prepare for it, and I'll go. Hajj Qasim prepared for this. I don't know if you've seen that clip that has been released. Said Hassan mentioned this. Others, he had mentioned it a year ago as well, but there's a recent clip that's out. I encourage everyone to see that. He said every time Hajj Qasim used to come, there was work that he had to do. Never came just casually, just to see. This last time, he said he came. Then he said he's coming, so we were expecting he's going to come. We prayed and so on and so on. I was waiting for him to say why he's here and what we need to discuss, what has happened, what decision needs to be made. After the prayer and so on, he said, I'm just here to visit. I'm just here to visit. It's evident that he knew. And then there's another conversation, another clip, some of the Iranian commanders that were there in Lebanon. Over there, they said Hajj Imad Mughniya's daughter that Hajj Qasim took very good care of after the Shahada of Hajj Imad Mughniya. They said, we overheard a conversation that Hajj Qasim had with the daughter of Hajj Imad. And in that conversation, the phone conversation, he said, we thought we heard he said we didn't hear the question, but it seemed like the question was, so where are you going after this? And they said, we thought we heard it, but then we told ourselves, no, that probably misheard. He said, I'm going to my maqtal, to where I'm going to be killed. He said, we thought we misheard, but then we realized, no, we didn't mishear. That was the case. That's what he said. He knew. He knew. Choosing that shahada is choosing the greatest, most effective tool against tyrants. That choice of shahada that a believer makes, and the choice on the other side that the tyrant makes to take the life of that shaheed, is the doom of that tyrant. If you're looking for ways of bringing down tyranny, shahada is the most effective way. In fact, we have in some of the narrations what will be the last thing that will happen before the imam comes, which the coming of the imam is equivalent to the destruction of all tyranny and the removal of all tyrants. The last thing that will happen is the shahada of an-nafs az-zakiyya, some nafs that God has purified, will be taken by the hands of the global tyrants. They will martyr him or her, whoever it is, an-nafs az-zakiyya. They will martyr that person, and when that person is martyred, the imam of our time comes. These are trends we see in our teachings. Shahada is a great tool, the strongest warfare. Guns aren't good forms of warfare. Swords aren't. They don't guarantee the defeat of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shahada does. It was the shahada of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, that guaranteed the defeat of the movement against the Ahlul Bayt. Let me clarify this before continuing on the topic. We need to correct a little bit of our understanding of what happened. We think wrongly that Amir al-Mu'mineen, Fatima al-Zahra, were defeated in that scene. No, they weren't defeated. Amir al-Mu'mineen didn't officially rule as he was said. He was told, or the people were told, that your ruler should be Ali ibn Abi Talib. That didn't happen. That doesn't mean the defeat of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib was not defeated. The enemies of Islam, Iblis, and all those who he lined up to deviate Islam after the demise of the Prophet, by the will of God, because of the shahada of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, they were defeated. Their version of Islam is not found today, brothers and sisters. what you find in the world that is identified as Islam, and it's not the version that we believe in called tashayyu, and of course we're not talking about Wahhabism and all of that. Those are new creations, and they are defeated as well because of the shuhada. But it's going to take time. It's going to take time. They are defeated. They have defeated themselves with the shuhada that they have taken their lives. But the version that was there, that was to stay, that seemed like, it seemed like they wiped out the Islam of the Prophet. Because except for the Imam and Fatima al-Zahra, whom they killed, and a couple of companions of the Prophet that remained, and Salman died, Salamullah alayhi, this great man, Miqdad al-Aswad, two, on the face of the earth, there were three people. Three people. They thought, it's gone. Ali is going to die too. He's going to... Miqdad is going to die. The other person will die. Three, four people. They're all going to die. That's it. It's over. It's taken care of. Out of the hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, that had accepted Islam, that were supposed to continue with that same direction, only a couple remained. A few remained. Less than a handful. And they will die. And that's it. With the istishhad of Fatima al-Zahra, that version, that Islam, that was not Islam, it was called Islam. That Islam, that if that would have continued similar to Christianity, that there is no correct version of Christianity today. There is no Christianity available. Nowhere in the world is the original Christianity of Christ himself. You can't find it anywhere. The defeat of the Ahlul Bayt would have been something like that. Of course, for another time, just to make this clear, Jesus, Salamullah alayhi, this great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wasn't defeated either. Because his religion was not supposed to remain as such. That religion went to the time of the Prophet, and the true believers in Christ did join Islam at that time. They did. And so Christianity, true Christianity, lives within Islam. And therefore, Christ is not defeated. But we're using this, that those particular teachings that were supposed to be handed over to the Prophet, and whoever followed those particular teachings should have followed the Prophet. Those who didn't ended up with something that was not what Christ had brought. It was not Christianity. Islam should have ended up something like that if the Ahlul Bayt would have been defeated. If the movement of Islam would have been defeated. If the Shahada of Fatima al-Zahra was in there. The Shahada of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, is what caused Islam to live, to grow, to come out of the dark, to revive the Islam of the Prophet 1400 years later. It's because of the Shahada of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. So we talked about that. I don't want to reiterate, but felt like that point, maybe we didn't have enough time to emphasize that part as much as we did with understanding that there is an enemy and so on last night. The last point regarding the Shahada of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, and the effects of that shahada that we want to discuss has to do with the effect of the shahada of Fatima al-Zahra on not the enemies and not the believers who were following her already, but on the mustadha'afin, on those who have not heard of Islam, on those who have not heard of the Ahlul Bayt, those who have been given misinformation regarding the Ahlul Bayt, those who've been given misinformation in regards to Islam, in regards to the Prophet, in regards to the Quran, in regards to the teachings of the Quran, in regards to the various rulings of Islam. There are many people throughout the globe, today and before this, who either because of, apparently from a human perspective, because of the tyranny of the tyrants, the word of the Ahlul Bayt, the word of true Islam, the real word of the Prophet, the real tafsir of the Quran itself didn't arrive in their localities. They didn't hear about it. Or if they heard it, which at that time, in Europe, they heard about Islam. During the lifetime of the Prophet, some people at least heard about Islam. Eventually, everyone pretty much came to know of Islam, and they heard of Islam. But what did they hear of Islam? Complete misrepresentations of the Prophet of Islam. Similar in many ways to the current times where those who hear of Islam in the world outside of Muslim families and outside of Muslim lands, what people hear of Islam and what they think is right about Islam is a lot of nonsense, a lot of misrepresentations. And because of that, they have not accepted. Because what they think Islam is, they shouldn't accept. Because that which is called Islam in the way Islam is presented to them is actually injustice, is actually wrong. So that wrong thing that is called Islam that they receive, they're obviously supposed to reject that. So the correct way to put this is that they really haven't heard of Islam as it is. They've heard of something else that's called Islam. They call it, they misrepresent it, and they call it Islam, so that people think real Islam is that. These people. Did the Shahada of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, have an impact on the Mustadafin or not? Does it have an impact on the Mustadafin or not? Obviously, if we're discussing it, then you probably think we're going to say yes, and yes, that is the answer. It has and will continue to have effects and an impact on the mustada'afin, those who have been given false and misinformation regarding Islam. Before I talk about the effect of it, let me explain this idea. The majority of the people during the life of the Imams, during the life of Fatima al-Zahra in that short period after the demise of the Prophet, during the life of the Prophet even outside of those who had accepted Islam, or during the time when the Prophet was preaching and their tribes hadn't accepted, the majority of people or mustadafin. People at the time of the Prophet heard what the Prophet had to say. Did they hear it from him directly? A lot of those Arab tribes, no, they didn't. What did they hear? They heard what Abu Sufyan said about what the Prophet is saying. They heard what Abu Jahl said about what the Prophet is saying. They heard what Abu Lahab, their leaders. Their leaders found the words of the Prophet to be effective, attractive, and so they misrepresented it. They said it's magic. They said he's a lunatic. They twisted his words. They did all kinds of stuff to get people not to want to even hear what the Prophet has to say. That person who rejects the Prophet doesn't really know him. Doesn't really know what his teaching is. They just hear a misrepresentation. The majority of the people were mustadafin. And so as soon as the barrier of the kuffar, those who really were against the Prophet, those who were spreading these lies against the Prophet, as soon as they were out of the way, in what way? After the conquest of Mecca, they didn't have authority anymore. The conquest of Mecca happened in this way. The Prophet took his army and they secretly planned, and these are all ways that he did it with no bloodshed. One of the tactics was to have a very secret plan. So nobody knows when this army is going to move. The Kuffar had a gut feeling and They tried to get clarification that the Prophet is planning to conquer Mecca. He's planning an attack, so they were afraid. They're trying to figure out when and so on. The Holy Prophet planned it very carefully. They made their way, that huge army made its way from Medina all the way to Mecca without the Meccans knowing. Next thing they know, Abu Sufyan wakes up. They hear that the Prophet's army is right outside of town. There's nothing to do. You can't run. You're either going to fight or you're going to have to surrender. Those are the two options you have. Obviously, Abu Sufyan is not ready to die. He's the leader of this kufr. That's why the kufr at the time of the occultation, the rise of kufr is the term used in our ahadith is Sufyani, because he was the head, Abu Sufyan was the head of kufr at the time against the Prophet. The head of kufr at the time of the occultation is called Sufyani, attributing or drawing a parallel or a comparison between this movement and what Abu Sufyan was doing against Islam. Anyhow, they were the obstacles, the way the Prophet planned it. They came, they surrendered to the Prophet. And they said, we're Muslim. After that, they couldn't. They hated the Prophet still. The Holy Prophet, though, didn't kill them. That wasn't part of the deal. That's not what God wanted. If they surrender, okay. There's no war. You know. But once they surrendered, that's the effect. They were leading this misrepresentation. And they had authority in the land. And their voices were heard. Now that they accepted, now that they couldn't speak ill, now that they joined the ranks of the musallin, those who were praying, now they joined the congregations of prayer, be it that they don't believe in it at heart, but once they do this, then there is that negative voice that was constantly being heard and was able to get their message across to these masses is not heard. What happens? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. These masses that were mustad'afin, that barrier that kept them from hearing of Islam, allowing themselves to hear what the Prophet says, those barriers were removed. Now they see it, they accept it. They accept it. So the majority, even at that time, were mustad'afin. People who aren't really thinking for themselves. They're following their leaders. Today as well, throughout this time, but I gave that example for that time. During the time of the Imams as well, let me make this clear as well. We have hadith from Imam As-Sadiq, salamullah alayh. This whole discussion of, oh, whoever is not Shia, are they Muslim, are they not Muslim? There's a very interesting, many ahadith, but one particular one I'm referring to, Zurara ibn Ayan, one of the companions of Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq, he has this conversation with the Imam, with his ignorance, as the Imam says, his jahl, and he was young at the time, based on his misunderstanding, he's arguing with the Imam that whoever doesn't believe in you is kafir. The Imam says, no, that's not the case. Whoever doesn't believe is not necessarily kafir. He was referring to the masses, and that's mentioned explicitly in the hadith. The masses, he said, they're mustad'afin. He said, people are three categories. They're mu'mineen, they're kuffar, and then there's mustad'afin. People who are not kuffar, they're not rejecting, they're mustad'af. The majority at that time were mustad'af, and today as well. The majority of muslimin, in regards to, obviously, in regards to Tawheed, they're believers. In regards to Ma'ad, they're believers. In regards to the Quran, they're believers. In regards to the Prophet, they're believers. In regards to Salah, they're believers. In regards to Hajj, in most things, they're believers. In regards to the concept of Wilaya, which is very important, it's the most important teaching, that is not being rejected deliberately, knowing God has said this, yet I'm going to disbelieve in it. No, it's not the masses. That's the leaders that know this. The masses are mustad'af. The masses who think Shias are kafir is because their leaders are telling them, those who do. That's not a majority, but there are some leaders that are preaching that Shia is kafir. And so this is not the average non-Shia. No, it's a smaller group, but even they, it's because some of the leaders that are trying to pump this based on the instructions from the great Satan, the US, and the Zionists, they're trying to do this. Anyhow, today as well, the majority of people who are not with the Imam of our time, I'll put it in that way, and that includes some Shias as well, those who are not with the Imam of our time. But regarding the concept of the Ahlul Bayt, those who do not believe in the Ahlul Bayt as we do. The majority of them are mustadafin. Mustadafin. They either haven't heard or what they've heard is misinformation. And knowing the effect of the Shahada of Fatima to Zahra, Salamullahi alayha, and Shahada in general, the effect of that on the mustadafin is important for us to know. And then we will see if Fatima to Zahra, Salamullahi alayha, is the mother of Shahada in Islam. There were many Shuhada during the time of the Prophet, and there was Sayyid al-Shuhada during the time of the Prophet, the uncle of the Prophet. But the Shahada of Fatima to Zahra, Salamullah alayha, is the loneliest, most oppressive form of Shahada or killing that they did towards Fatima to Zahra, Salamullah alayha. It doesn't have to be physically done in a very painful way, which it was, that gradual process of Shahada, Salamullahi alayha. It's hard to imagine, but just think, it took a couple of months for the injuries to lead to her Shahada. The injuries led to Shahada. When did the injuries happen? Soon after the demise of the Prophet, maybe a week or two after the demise of the Prophet, those injuries occurred. And she lived for another 2 months. Those injuries got worse and worse. This is torturous. Salamullah alayki. I apologize for putting in that. I'm just trying to make a point here regarding her shahada. We have a long ways to before we can really understand her shahada. This form of shahada in a physical way, but not even just that. At the time of that istishhad, other than her and Amir al-Mu'mineen, no one understood the necessity of that shahada. And so a lot of people thought it was wrong. Or if they thought well of her, they would think that, oh, it's bad that this happened to her. She chose that. It was her choice. Understanding that that shahada, as the mother of shahada and the mother of shuhada throughout time, if shahada has this effect on the mustadafin, and the majority of the people of the world are mustadafin, then we will know that this is also an effective tool for us today to win over and to affect the mustadafin. What's the effect of shahada on the mustadafin? What's the effect of the shahada of Fatima to Zahra, Salamullahi alayha, on the mustadafin? With the shahada of Fatima to Zahra, Salamullahi alayha, it's a little difficult to talk because of Fatima to Zahra, Salamullahi alayha. Her effects are just beyond imagination. Her effects, other than shahada and her istishhad, her martyrdom, are beyond our comprehension. I will talk about this effect in regards to shahada itself and some of the examples we have today, and then if I'm able to get across a particular instance that I have in mind in regards to Fatima to Zahra, Salamullahi alayha, and the effect of it much later than her actual istishhad and her martyrdom, if I can get that across and explain that, inshallah, we will see that. But let's talk about shahada and shuhada and the effect of the shuhada on the mustadafin. There's another shahada. Let me start with this. I think it's better to start with this. There's another shahada in Islam that was seen more as shahada right from the beginning. The shahada of Fatima to Zahra, Salamullahi alayha, just like her grave, has been hidden. It hasn't been spoken of too much. It's part of her character. It's hard to sometimes even find proper accounts historically to put it together. And unfortunately, that's led some people who love the Ahlul Bayt to not be able to come to the conclusion that Fatimah al-Zahra was martyred. No, she was definitely martyred. But there's another shahada in Islam that was very clear and very well known, and everyone saw it and everyone heard of it, and that is the istishhad of Imam al-Husayn salamullahi alayh. This shahada is very evident, and it was upheld, it was spoken of, it was mentioned, it was remembered, people reminded, the imams created a culture of the remembrance of that shahada. Otherwise, the istishhad of Fatimah al-Zahra, for various reasons, it was hidden. Even the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, their crying for Fatimah al-Zahra was in hiding. Not just the children of Fatimah al-Zahra right after her shahada and on the night of her burial and so on and so forth. Imam al-Jawad, Salamullah alayh, as a child, Imam al-Ridha sees him crying in the house though, no majlis. And he's crying, and he asks him, "Why are you crying?" Imam al-Jawad, as a child, obviously he was 8 when Imam al-Ridha was martyred, so this was before that, probably when he was 6 or even younger. Imam al-Ridha asks, "Why are you crying?" I'm not quoting the Imam here. Something along these lines, that the Imam is crying and he says, "What did my mother do to deserve this treatment?" And he's crying and crying. The crying of the Ahlul Bayt, we don't have accounts that says the Ahlul Bayt established sessions like they did for Imam al-Husayn for the Lady Fatimah al-Zahra. For many reasons, this shahada was hidden. It's only recently that this is coming into light, and there's more open majalis, more. And recently doesn't mean in the last few years, the last couple of decades or so. But it's recent. It's after the time of the presence of the Ahlul Bayt that this became an event that is commemorated. Anyhow, that other shahada is the shahada of Imam al-Husayn. Let's talk about this a little bit. Let's start with this. And since he's Sayyid al-Shuhada, this effect of shahada. The effect of the shahada of Imam al-Husayn was that the mustada'afin woke up from their sleep. Those who thought Yazid was telling them the truth here. In Sham, people were affected by the words of Muawiyah and then Yazid. This event woke them up. That's why Yazid had to do what? Yazid had to respectfully send them to wherever the Ahlul Bayt wanted. We've discussed this over and over. Who were the people that were affected by that istishhad and hearing of that shahada and the martyrdom? And the Lady Zainab bringing them that news before Yazid twists that truth. But it's the shahada that has that effect. It's the mustada'afin that are affected. The mustada'afin come to know what the truth is. The mustada'afin start realizing, oh, it's not what we thought. Okay. This is the effect of shahada. The effect of shahada, a shaheed, is a glowing light, a beacon that allows those who are lost, the mustada'afin are lost. It glows. Taking from the light of the Ahlul Bayt, the shuhada that are out, the Ahlul Bayt themselves are light. The Holy Prophet is Siraj and Munira. Any shaheed becomes a beacon. Shahada creates a beacon. Besides the isma of the ma'soom, the shahada of a ma'soom, of an imam, of the Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, this creates a beacon. Brings mustada'afin, enlightens the mustada'afin, allows them to see. One of the things that we experienced with the revolution is that a lot of the people who were still asleep, with regards to the tyranny of the regime in Iran before the revolution. The shahada of multiple people in Qom, and then in Tabriz, and then in other cities. And that started with the istishhad of Imam Khomeini's son. He was martyred, poisoned. And other shuhada, but that was the one right before the event of the rise in Qom, and then the killing of people there, so there were shuhada there. And then shuhada in Tabriz. And then shuhada elsewhere. And then this caused the whole of the population to rise. All those people that were still in deep sleep. The shahada of Haj Qasim Soleimani has caused many of the mustadafin of the world to wake up. Those who had an idea to become more aware. Those who had no idea to become aware. Those who had an idea and were somewhat active to realize that their responsibilities are greater. This is the effect of istishhad and martyrdom on the masses. The path through which the effect of shahada on the kuffar happens, and that was the downfall of a tyrant, the path through which that happens is the waking and the awakening of the mustadafin. Shahada has that effect. Shahada has that effect. When Imam al-Hussein was martyred, it created an awakening amongst the Muslimin. And Imam Zain al-Abidin continued the reminders of that shahada to increase. It's like Imam al-Hussein lit the coal and they caught on, but there's a lot more coal. Imam Zain al-Abidin kept blowing in it, reminding people until that coal gets hotter and hotter, and they did overthrow the Umayyads, the Ahlul Bayt. The shahada of Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayh was what overthrew them, and of course beyond that, but what temporarily at that time can be seen. Why? Because it created an awakening amongst the mustadafin. These were Muslimin, but in regards to imamah, in regards to khilafah, in regards to the position of the imam, or who the imam should be after the demise of the Prophet, they were mustadaf. They didn't realize an awakening. With the shahada of these numerous shuhada, we see awakening anywhere, any part of the world. When there is a shaheed, when there is a shahidah, anyone martyred, there's an awakening. Okay, right then, and then sometimes it takes longer, but it's there. Okay, it happens sooner or later. That effect on the mustadafin is going to be there. So we say the salawat, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a lot of barakah to shahada, to martyrdom, and to the shaheed. Each shaheed has this effect of awakening the mustadafin, helping the mu'mineen further, and defeating the kuffar. There's an instance, and inshallah we'll end this discussion. I hope I'm able to get this across. Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, is the secret of the Ahlul Bayt. And her istishhad was a secret, a hidden thing. And the effects of that shahada are hidden, but they're there. And they can be found if you pay close attention. You'll find. One example I want to give, and it may sound like a stretch to some, but this is my belief, I will present it. There's a city in I believe it's Spain, that is called Fatima, or however they pronounce it. It's not English and it's not Arabic, but clearly it comes from Fatima. There is no other name that is intended. These are a few innocent children that have an experience. They see someone who says her name is Fatima, and they talk to people about it. And that has an effect on a people over there. I can't say I know all the effects of that. I can't say I know how far that reached. I can't say, even with regards to who it was, they said certain things, some of which were not accurate. I don't know the exact story of the person who actually saw it. What we get of what she supposedly has said is not necessarily what she said. I don't know, at least. I don't know what she believed. They said she became a nun. Well, it's very simple for you to know that this is not a figure that you have their name in the Bible. This is someone else. And if you do the math, it's obvious who it is. But what happened there, these children? I don't know. The narrative we hear is not necessarily what actually happened. But the event was so great, the effect and impact was so significant, that out there, all the way out there, people who have not heard anything positive, the closest thing they got is the Umayyad version of Islam. The Umayyads conquered part of a portion of Spain. And you can imagine what the version of Islam they give is. And there's nothing positive in regards to the Ahlul Bayt. No description of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, that would cause you to like her. None of that is there. All the way out there, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, turns this beacon on, illuminates this region, the hearts of these people, and as light. Just to clarify this again, the name is there, it's clear it's her. There's no question it's her. It's Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. Ahya'un 'inda rabbihim yurzaqoon, which is the quality of shahada. This hayat that she had, these mustada'afin that are ready to receive this light, Fatima al-Zahra appears to them, guides them. I don't know how accurate it is, but it makes sense based on what we have. There was no such thing as a tasbih or a subha or anything like that in Christianity. This rosary that's there came from that. That's the reading I have done, that's where it came from. And it makes sense, because there was no other such thing. Doing the dhikr repeatedly, she gave instructions. Salamullahi alayha. Salamullahi alayha. This is what istishhad does generally. Okay. And the thing about mustada'afin is that you don't necessarily see too much. You don't know where it's going to be affected. You don't know who's going to be affected. You don't know what part of what we see today of the effects of the Ahlul Bayt has to do with the istishhad of this imam or that, or Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. It's not. We can't see too much of that. But these instances that we see are signs of the effect of shahada on the mustada'afin. Brothers and sisters, the mustada'afin of the world are the battleground today. The mustada'afin of the world are the battleground. If the mustada'afin of the world join the imam, join the movement of the imam, if they realize what the truth is, the kuffar are so few, they will, just seeing the numbers on this side, they will surrender. just seeing the sheer number and their own number and their how few they are and how they can't get along with them, that would do it. It's done if that would happen. The battleground is Mustadhafin in the world. What does this tell us? It tells us if we want to work against the dhalama, work against the tyrants, defeat them, one of the aspects of shahada in this way, one of the aspects of the possibility of getting killed in this way, that would encourage us, let me actually instigate them for them to kill me, because this is a way that these things will happen. One of the reasons why shahada is important, and if we think that may happen, it shouldn't be something, if we think we may get killed if we do this, it's going to get us killed if we do this, and instead of being afraid of that, we look at it and we think, wait a second, that's actually good, let's do this, let them kill us. One of the effects is winning over the mustadhafin. One shaheed that we have in this country that has clearly done this is that all those people who didn't believe Malcolm when he was alive in those fiery talks with his istishhad, there was an awakening. There was clearly an awakening. Anyone denying the awakening of the after the shahada of Malcolm, known as Malcolm X, or Haj Malik al-Shabazz, if I got the name that he chose for himself after Malcolm. There was clearly an awakening. If we do things for Islam, and we should, and there is a threat, meaning if we do some of those things, they'll come after us. And if we continue doing it, they will continue coming after us. And if we continue, they may imprison us. And they may kill us in prison or outside of prison, just like Malcolm and just like his grandson and just like all the others. When we think of that, instead of saying that, oh, that's not a good thing, let's not move in that direction, even simply not looking at it from the perspective of, oh, that's what God likes, not looking at it from the perspective of ascension towards paradise, ascension towards Allah, becoming one of the muqarrabin through shahada, not even looking at it from that perspective. If you're simply trying to analyze and see, does that tell us, in order for the movement to continue, should I continue doing this, knowing that I will be killed? Or should I think I should stop this because if I'm killed, the movement is killed? The answer to that question is no. Continue going. Let them kill you. This will not kill the movement. This will increase the numbers that are going to be with the movement. This will increase the numbers. As it has, the shahada of Fatima al-Zahra has, the shahada of Imam al-Hussein has, the shahada of Amir al-Mu'mineen has, the shahada of every single one of our imams has, the shahada of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt today has. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our minds and hearts to this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove all those veils that glues us to the earth and loving this material realm, loving the glamour of the West, loving the glamour of all these material things that makes us misunderstand and causes us not to want to leave. We'll make every excuse, create Islamic excuses. Oh, we shouldn't do this. Sheikh, don't talk about this. They may do this. Let them do that. Let them kill us. It will strengthen the movement. It will strengthen the movement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised this. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us be willing and wanting. And whenever He shows us that at this particular time, I want you to go and I want you to give your life, would say, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. By the right of Fatima al-Zahra, sallallahu alayki, ya bint Rasulillah, ruhi fidaki, ya umma al-Hasan wal-Husayn. روحي فداك يا بنت حبيب الله. Tonight is the Shahada, the night of the Shahada of Fatima al-Zahra. The last night Ali is seeing Fatima al-Zahra. The last night that Imam al-Mujtaba and Imam al-Husayn see their mother, the last night that their younger sibling Zainab salamullahi alayha and Umm Kulthum see their mother, Ruhi Fidaki, Ya حبيبة المرتضى. May Allah give you patience, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ya Ali, I don't know how you were able to be patient all this time while Zahra melted before you. Ruhi fidaki, brothers and sisters, let's go to the house of Fatima and Ali on this last day. Some have said Fatima got up today, meaning her last day. She kept going around cleaning the house, preparing the meal. The children perhaps thought maybe our mother is getting better, she's healing. But this was her last time. She wanted to clean the house and prepare a meal for the children one last time. They say she said after she finished everything, she went back to her bed and told Asma, I will cover my face every now and then, come and call me. If I respond, then so be it, otherwise call Ali. She went every now and then, she would call Ya Fatima, she would respond. But there came a time she called Fatima al-Zahra, no response. She sent the children to the masjid. Tell your father if you want to see Zahra alive, come. They say Amir al-Mu'mineen, hearing that, fell backwards. He rushed to the house, went into the room where she was lying, covering her face. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Fatima, no response. Ya bint Rasulillah, no response. Fatima and Ali, this is Ali calling you, please respond to me. Out of respect for Amir al-Mu'mineen, this man who will now be all alone, she opened her eyes again. She responded to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen, after washing the body, I don't know how he was able to take that body to the grave. Imagine Amir al-Mu'mineen carrying his love, the daughter of the Prophet, to her grave. Amir al-Mu'mineen puts the body inside the grave. He begins to cover it up as the sunnah of the Prophet is. After he finished covering that grave, Amir al-Mu'mineen looked towards the grave of the Prophet. He says, لَقَدْ اسْتُرْجَعَتِ الْوَدِيَةِ Your trust with me has been returned to you. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أن ينقلب ينقلبون يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين
بر محمد و آل محمد صلوات اللهم صل علی محمد و آل محمد صدمے اٹھا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے بعد صدمے اٹھا رہے ہوں میں بابا تمہارے بعد دربار جا رہی ہوں میں دربار جا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے بعد صدمے اٹھا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے بعد بابا یہ فاطمہ پہ مصیبت کا وقت ہے یہ مرحلہ کٹھن ہے قیامت کا وقت ہے خطبہ سنا رہے ہوں میں خطبہ سنا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے با صدمے اٹھا رہے ہوں میں بابا تمہارے بعد کوئی مجھے بتائے کہ کیا تھا میرا قصور صدمہ یہ ہے کہ شہر کی آبادیوں سے دور آنسو بہا رہی ہوں میں آنسو بہا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے بعد صدمے اٹھا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے بابا تمہارے بعد یہ مجھ پر ستم ہوا محسن میرا شہید ہوا مصیبت یہ غم اٹھا رہی ہوں میں یہ غم اٹھا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے صدمے اٹھا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے بابا غریب بیٹی کی غربت کو دیکھ لو امت نے حق نہیں دیا بنت رسول کو یہ اجر پا رہی ہوں میں یہ اجر پا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے بعد صدمے اٹھا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے امت کی ہر نقاب کو رخ سے ہٹا کے آج دربار کے لعین کو خطبہ سنا کے آج حق کو بچا رہی ہوں میں حق کو بچا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے صدمے اٹھا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے بعد دربار جا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے بعد صدمے اٹھا رہی ہوں میں بابا تمہارے
فاطمہ زہرا فاطمہ زہرا فاطمہ زہرا فاطمہ زہرا یا زہرا یا زہرا یا زہرا
ہے تیرا ممنون میری شہزادی یہ جہاں سارا ہے یا زہرا یا زہرا یا زہرا یا زہرا تو ہمیں عز اور امان دے دے اپنی چادر
Yeah.
کو امت نے یوں ستایا ہے, مرگ محسن پہ بھی رلایا ہے, تجھ کو بابا کے بعد امت نے ہائے دربار میں بلایا ہے. یا زہرا یا زہرا یا زہرا یا زہرا یا زہرا یا زہرا یا حسین یا حسین پہلو بھی شکستہ ہے, تربہ بھی شکستہ ہے, پہلو بھی شکستہ ہے, تربہ بھی شکستہ ہے. کیا حال یہ امت نے سارا
خاتون کوئی ہم سے یوں چور نہیں دیکھی, ایسی کوئی دنیا میں مستور نہیں دیکھی, اٹھارہ برس میں ہی لگتی طرح سے تو بی پھر لوٹ کے گھر آئی, بالوں کی سفیدی نے سب حال سنایا ہے, پہلو بھی شکستہ ہے, تربہ بھی شکستہ ہے, پہلو بھی شکستہ شکستہ ہے. تو روتی رہی گھر میں حیدر سے بھی چھپ چھپ کے, عصمت کی طرح دکھ بھی پردے میں رہے تیرے, کچھ درد تیرے بی بی بس جانتی فضا ہے, شکستہ ہے. دو ایسے جنازے ہیں تاریخ میں جو اٹھے, بس گھر کے ہی لوگوں نے دونوں کو دیے کاندھے, ایک فاطمہ زہرا ہے, ایک بال سکینہ تیرے زخموں کا بی بی نہ ملا اب تک, اولاد امیہ کی باقی ہے جفا اب تک, رونے پہ بھی پہرا تھا
شکستہ ہے پہلو بھی شکستہ ہے قرب بھی شکستہ ہے مہدی سے کوئی پوچھے کیا اس پہ گزرتی ہے مہدی سے کوئی پوچھے کیا اس پہ گزرتی ہے آواز بقیا سے جب نون کی آتی ہے آنکھوں سے لہو رو کر وہ بھی یہی کہتا ہے پہلو بھی شکستہ ہے قرب بھی شکستہ ہے کیا حال یہ امت نے کیا حال یہ امت نے زہرا کا بنایا ہے پہلو بھی شکستہ ہے ترب بھی شکستہ ہے
شده حرفت ورد زبونا الجاس همت دار دلم از این میسوزه تو مدینه یکی نمیگه چه قصه ای داریم تو که شب تا سحر واسه مردم تو دعاهات چیزی کم نمیذاریم جوری فتنه شده که تو حتی میون خوبام یاری نداری نگرانم من واسه این زخما نگرانم چون خونی نفسا مظلوم مادر بیکر تو کوچه یه نفس مادر نفسش هیدر 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 هیدر
بگو جان دلم
هیدر دنباله از سینه عشق خود میتکی باز مشغول کاری با لبخند که انگار نه انگار که از عهد تا درد شکسته بین در و دیوار چرا برات نگران نباشم که نفست گاهی بر نمیگرده الهی مادر برات بمیرم که تموم نفسات پر درده اون دستای مهربونه دیگه موهامو نشونه نکرده چی شده پهلو کبود بازود چه برم داره گوشه ابرود ای جان مادر ای کس مادر چی شده برم داره گوشه